And you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. I believe that song was by The Dead Grass. So that follows at the end of the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show, which is always a great show.
Felicia.
Oops.
Are you on?
I am on. Hi, Marshall.
I am too. Aloha.
So this is Kauai Soapbox, and, you know, we're in the campaign season. We're in the political season. There's going to be some politics that come up. But I want to call it applied politics because we are going to be looking at a number of issues that have unveiled themselves. They unveil themselves week after week. So it's not just politics, but it's how policy affects things that are important in our lives. And in the second half of the show, Matt Bernabe, who is a candidate running for county council, and he's going to join us in the studio.
Great.
Yep. So you are listening to KKCR, and Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Go Farm Hawaii.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Go Farm Hawaii at Kauai Community College is a not-for-credit program offering those interested in agriculture a combination of knowledge, experience, and support to assist them in becoming viable production growers. Wednesday, April 20th, from 6 to 8 p.m., is the Ag Curious Seminar held at KCC's OCET building, room 106 C and D. Hear from successful farmers about their growing experiences and learn more about the Go Farm training program. More information and RSVP at 245-8318.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio and for supporting us here at Kauai Soapbox. Marshall, I gave you some homework. You've been following the primaries largely on this show, and today was another big day in terms of national presidential politics. So what did you learn?
Well, we've got poll results coming in soon on the Democratic side from Arizona, Idaho, and Utah. And for the Republicans, the results will be available soon from Arizona and Utah.
So they are not up yet?
They're not up yet, but momentarily the polls are closing at either now or 4:30.
Okay, and those are more the western states, and I really don't know what to expect out of them in terms of the Republican piece. Actually, I don't know what to expect out of them for the Democrat either.
Not sure what to respect either.
Respect. What to expect. So we will keep an eye on that. So I want to just really start off the show today giving gratitude to all of our listeners who provide the content of the show and through sharing concerns and ideas. People maybe have no idea how much this particular show is driven by the interests of the listeners, many of whom call me in my off time, and I'm just going to try in all fairness. 6524363. I'm a little hesitant to do that because my phone does ring relentlessly.
Yeah, too late, Felicia.
But I do love everybody who calls and who shares, and we have so many wonderful people in our community. Driving up today, I saw that Bill and Amy Kreutzmann, they put new rocks in for the studio area here, our parking lot. So
it's beautiful, new gravel.
New gravel, and so he has some fame for being the drummer for the Grateful Dead, and so we are really grateful to Bill and Amy for helping our parking area, and I'm just going to throw a shout-out on this stuff. We need a good wallpaper person.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get our soundproofing back up when you can hear the echo in here, and you can call and leave a message at the office number 826-7774 or gm@kkcr.org and say, hey, I'm happy to help you get rid of that echo in the room there
right.
And put some stuff up. It sounds like we have a phone call. So we can just go ahead and take it. KKCR, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Anima Urza-Marso, and I'm with Kauai Creative Academy. And I was hoping that I could go ahead and make an announcement about our children's benefit recital that we're having.
Sure. And do you have your radio on or anything? I got a little bit of an echo.
I don't have my radio on, but I think I'll put it on if we have time.
No, I don't want you to. I want you to be as clear into the phone as possible so people can hear your announcement. So go ahead and make your announcement.
Okay, well, on Sunday, April the 10th, at the Church of the Pacific, we are going to hold a benefit concert for Kauai Creative Academy's children's program, and we're raising money for gymnastics equipment for them and also for scholarships for dance classes. And we are just inviting our community to check out the flyers. We put them up all over the health food stores, and tickets are being sold at Papaya's and Hoku and Harvest Market. We're going to do a raffle. We're going to do a silent auction, and we have a beautiful fire Polynesian show with fire. And we are also doing a beautiful play with five girls who are 12 and under, and these girls are going to be doing an empowerment, a self-empowerment play about how the young women can look into their darker side and embrace their shadow side and embrace their fears and then become empowered through that look within. And so it's a really beautiful play written by Bonnie Cardoza, and they're going to be showcasing that play at the time where we're having an Italian potluck dinner. And then the last part of the show, which is actually the very first part, is a wonderful program of the Talent Sprouts. And they will be doing gymnastics, they'll be singing, they'll be doing aerial silks, and they'll be doing hip-hop and ballet. And so it's going to just be a really fun time. The show starts at 4, and the dinner theater starts at 6, and the program ends at 8 o'clock. And we're just hoping to rally a whole bunch of our community to come out, support these kids, and buy a ticket, and
so this is at the Church of the Pacific in Princeville.
That's right.
So 4 p.m. this Sunday. And Creative Art... No, not this...
It's April the 10th.
Okay, April the 10th. Sunday, April the 10th. All right. And Kauai Creative Arts Academy, is that like...
Kauai.
Say it again?
Kauai Creative Academy.
Academy. So is that... a school supplement, a learning supplement, or is it school in itself?
It's like a school in itself, but it's really a studio. It's a little program that we teach just specific things. We don't, you know, it's not just like a regular school with a Waldorf or anything like that. It's just basic dancing and basic gymnastics, and we have an aerial silk, so we are teaching that. And this week we're hosting a spring break circus camp. So, yeah, we're having a lot of fun over here.
Do you have a phone number that you can give?
Sure, I have a phone number, and I also have the website people can check out.
Okay.
So the number is 540-798-9516, and then the website is kauaicreativeacademy.com.
Okay, thank you so much for calling that in.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in. I just wanted to say that yesterday I was listening to CNN, and they had interviews of the various political candidates, and Bernie Sanders was interviewed by Anderson Cooper, and I think Anderson Cooper practically fell over because Bernie Sanders was such a wealth of information about U.S. foreign policy over the last 40 years, and particularly in the recent history. And he was so knowledgeable, and also his take on the situation between Israel and the Palestinians and our relationship to that in view of possible peace negotiations. I mean, it was such a fabulous amount of information. I recommend it if anyone had a chance, they go back to yesterday's programming and hear that interview.
So that would be at CNN.com, and maybe they would Google search Anderson Cooper, Bernie Sanders?
Yes. It was an interview. It was they were interviewing all the different candidates, and Bernie Sanders' interview was absolutely exceptional. His demonstration of knowledge of what's going on in the world and what's going on in foreign policy particularly is exceptional. And I think I was watching the program, and I think this guy Anderson Cooper was really stupefied that by the fact that it was being presented with so much interesting and knowledgeable information.
Yes. I mean, I didn't see it, so I will look at it, but I know that it is great when we see an interview where they actually allow the candidate
to
really
share.
I
listened to all the various candidates. This one was the one that had all the knowledge and understanding of and the nuances of foreign policy over the last 20 years, you know, 30 years. And, I mean, particularly his take on Israel and also his take on our getting involved in regime change, et cetera, et cetera. It was just really informative. So I recommend that anybody who has a chance, they go to yesterday's, which would have been
321
with Anderson Cooper, and look up his interview. It was fabulous.
Well, I will certainly do that. And on that same point, yesterday morning I had the blessing of talking to Jane Sanders. And because this is community radio and we need a little bit more donations for technology, I did not succeed at recording it. I was going to play it today, but I will tell you I spoke with her for about 10 or 15 minutes, and we had a really good conversation. And if I could just share with you the essence of that message that was directed at the Kauai people. In addition to, you know, the national discussion, she was emphasizing how much Bernie Sanders understands the extra economic difficulty that is here in Hawaii, with that expresses itself in houselessness, and then the difference between the wages and the cost of living is, if anything, more profound than many of the places that they are used to visiting. I also had asked about the nation of Hawaii and if they were familiar with the political history of what's happened.
Yes.
And what I got from her is, you know, that they are aware of it. I would have to say that they need a little work with the subtleties of it, but what came through was that, you know, he is open to learning. That he's open to learning the subtleties of this problem, you know, and has a heart to help. And she was bringing up some of the issues that they're seeing with the Native Americans. And Native Americans and Native Hawaiians aren't exactly the same thing.
No, they're not at all. And that's one of the main things that I think is very important for all of us, to get in touch with the Congress and the President and point out that the recent legislation that's being sponsored is kind of pushing the Hawaiians off into the Department of Interior, which classifies them as Native Americans rather than being sovereign citizens of their own nation, which is what they're fighting for. And I think it's really important that we inform the President as well as the Congress, because most of the people don't understand the distinction.
I would say that she was struggling to totally understand that distinction, but what was pretty clear to me is that there's an intention to really look at that subtlety, and that they had been spending time with the Native American people groups. And my childhood was sort of in that Navajo Nation area. I really noticed that he was up there in the Flagstaff, Arizona area, and has been placing a focus on social justice and trying to bring some equity.
And we're going to see how that Navajo vote goes today in Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. But, you know, I mean, I think that we have to very definitely make it clear that the position of the people from the sovereign nation of Hawaii, you know, this, however they say the word, Hawaii here, because really and truly what's at stake is if these Hawaiians get classified in that Native American situation, they get shuffled off to the Interior Department, and then their lands are subject to being taken over, and that's a really big issue.
It's a very big issue. Have you gone to any of the Halawai Kuakoa meetings that are coming out? Like, there's another one tomorrow night, 5:30 to 8:30 at Wilcox Elementary School.
There, I haven't been going. I've been listening to the radio show certain mornings, and there's a wonderful, I can't, you know.
It's probably.
When it comes to names, I forget everybody's name. But, you know, Donovan and then this other gal who's been working on these Hawaiian issues, they have great guests, and I've been listening to all the information about the sovereign nation and all these various things that are going on. And
you're speaking,
my information.
You're speaking of Songs of Sovereignty, and that's Ka'iulani.
And yes, exactly.
So they do a good job. And then Randy on Saturday has Naleo o Hawaiian Issues. There's also Songs of Sovereignty, the Sovereignty Show with Auntie Nani one Monday a month. But
yeah,
and
I mean, there's a lot of information being put out into the community, which, thank goodness, because I'm not really one that gets to meetings usually.
But let me, I'm just kind of trying.
If someone tells me about it, I might get there.
Okay, and I'm telling other people besides you. I'm using this time of the phone to share it with the listener.
Yeah, what is that meeting tomorrow night at Wilcox?
It's at Wilcox Elementary Cafeteria. This is the third one that I will have been to, and the lessons that they're teaching in there are profound and almost shocking and uncomfortable because, you know, these are mostly university professors who are bringing the information up. And I'm trying to get my internet to really work here for me. Maybe it will. And so one of the people who will be there tomorrow is Kaho'o Kahi Kanuha, who was very involved in the Mauna Kea movement, really impassioned and talented young man. He's going to be speaking of what he learned there. And then there is Umi, and I don't have her last name. I'm struggling to get my internet connection going. But the one before last, one of the presenters was Keanu Sai, and then another man named Lorenz. And when you're up there and you're watching it on the screen, you see these documents. These are copies of these original documents. And there's a lot of compelling evidence to support what is being shared. And so what I think we're learning across the board, not just in Hawaii, but for the United States and the world, is that we have not necessarily been taught real history.
And well, it's so true.
So it
You're
is.
So right.
It's an important thing, and there's a number of efforts to educate.
And it's not only we haven't been taught real history about Hawaii, we haven't been taught real history about a lot of places.
That's
where
what
we
I'm saying.
Involved in, you know, uprooted people.
That's right. It's not unique to Hawaii, but certainly it is true for Hawaii and then many other places. The internet and crowdsourcing information, crowdsourcing research. We're bringing things up all over the place.
Well, this is good. I mean, the big thing is, but I think not only do we all want to be informed, but the most important thing that we can do is get on the stick and send the information to the Congress, not just your own congressman, because we have, in Hawaii, we have Democratic congressmen who are pretty sympathetic. But, you know, we've got to reach the opposite side of the fence and let them be educated about what the heck's going on and what the people really want. They don't have any idea. Are you kidding? Their lives are so cluttered with so much information about things. Unless we do a concerted effort to bring conscious or, you know, real intelligent information and consciousness to them, they are not going to vote the right way because it's much easier to say, oh, yeah, there's that bill. They'll be Native American, blah, blah. They don't get it.
Well, there's many people working on it, and I'm glad that you're listening for it. So
I just think that's the whole thing. We need to urge our audience of that's on this, listen to the radio, to get the information and send it on to Mitch McConnell and whoever, Paul Ryan, and the opposition side of things. And if you're a Republican, send it to the Democrats. But the basic thing is, get the people educated that are representing the American public in the Congress.
So thank you so much, and thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for talking to me. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Okay.
Go ahead, Felicia.
I was going to say thank you for calling KKCR. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Colin from Hanai. How are you?
Hey, Colin from Hanai. I want to say Hanai Kauai. I went into your store. You have a brand new store that's opened up, and it really lines up with what we were just talking about because it's really about local empowerment for Kauai. Please tell us what you're doing.
Well, Hanai at the Kojima store just opened up on Thursday, and we are serving up some of the local favorites that Kojima store always had, like the beef from Sanchez. But we've integrated that concept into the rest of the store, and 100% of what we have on our shelves, whether we make it or just have fresh fruits and vegetables, comes from the state of Hawaii, predominantly here on Kauai. And we're really excited to be offering that, and we're open Thursday through Sunday, 2 to 8. So if you miss the farmer's market on Wednesday, or the one on Saturday is a little too early for you, or on Sunday you're looking for something fresh to cook for dinner, we would be the place to go.
So where do you get your pork from? I saw that you had pork, too.
I had some of your pork.
Kaneshiro pork.
Kaneshiro pork? Okay, so that's another local-grown product. And I saw you had honey and a number of products. I sent a few messages out to people like Louisa Wooten from Kaunani? Kunana Dairy. So if people who are food producers and product user, I mean, food, what would we call that?
Consumers?
Or? No, the people who make things. You call that value-added products.
Any farmers, ranchers, fishermen, or people who are making value-added products out of 100% local ingredients. And we really emphasize that. I mean, that means we're not utilizing olive oil or butter or other dairy from outside the state, extends into salt, pepper, vinegar, any kind of seasoning, spices, binding agents. So we want to prove that this is not only possible, but it's also a more delicious alternative, and all the other echoes that come out of it are really wonderful. Money staying in the community here, supporting local agriculture, and supporting ranchers who primarily ship their beef to be finished and processed elsewhere. Fishermen who are primarily selling to the fish auctions are able to keep it here. And really giving everyone here access to these ingredients. So most people's products as of right now, even if they're made in the state, do not contain 100% of the ingredients from Kauai and Hawaii. So we wanted this as a forum for people who had always dreamed of having a place like that or aspired to doing that with their own businesses, and now there's a venue for them to sell it. But for the meantime, we are making the vast majority of the ingredients that you see on the shelves here.
So if people wanted to get a hold of you, how do they do it?
You can call the store here. It's 822-2228. Or if they had questions about it, you could go to hanaikauai.com. We have an email list there where you could sign up, because starting in the near future, we're going to also be featuring workshops on how to utilize all these wonderful ingredients. So if you go to market and all you see is items to put into a salad or a stir fry, if you'd like to take a class, we could show you a lot of other methods of preparation and maybe flavor combinations and simple techniques that would improve your vocabulary of cookery.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. The other thing that's new for us that we'd really love to showcase and emphasize is our market meals, which is we're all coming from a restaurant background. And so with that same kind of train of logic, putting together a meal for two out of the market. For instance, the one that we did on Sunday was a coconut curry shrimp. It was a spoon meat coconut turned into a curry sauce, which would go wonderfully on anything, but we had fresh Kauai shrimp, the jumbo ones. We thought that would make a nice meal with some fennel, eggplant, cilantro, and Thai basil. That meal for two people as of Sunday was $30. So we're trying to take some of the guesswork. We're trying to give some guidance. You're more than welcome to buy any number of ingredients here and create your own meals. But for those who are looking for maybe a direction to go with dinner tonight, or some ideas, or maybe just the sauce work done, that the curry sauce is done, so you want to put it on something else at your house, now you're not making a whole dinner from scratch, but you can have a dinner made exclusively out of ingredients from Hawaii, freshly made, and spend a lot less time doing so.
Okay, so just to help people, you are Thursday to Sunday at this point while you're doing a soft opening from 2 to 8 p.m. That's in the Old Kojima storefront. For people who don't know that place, that is on the north end of Kapa'a on the Mauka, the mountain side of the road, just as you're coming in kind of near Tomba's Surf Shop.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, and so 2 to 8, Thursday through Sunday, we're here. Once again, hanaikawaii.com is a great way to get in touch. Or you can call the store, 822-2228. And we're going to be hosting our first special event and opening up for First Saturday, doing an open house so that those of you who just want to come in and look around, see what we've done with the store, we would love to have you. That's going to be going from 5 to 10 this April 2nd, First Saturday in Kapa'a. Otherwise, we'll be here Thursday through Sunday, 2 to 8.
Okay, well, mahalo for sharing that with us, and mahalo for all the work that you've done. And there is a subtle and positive political statement in what you're doing in being all Kauai.
We appreciate you noticing that, and we appreciate all you've done with your garden programs and with this radio show. And we look forward to seeing you and your listeners again soon.
Okay, mahalo.
And I'm just looking at that website. That is hanaikawaii.com.
Yep.
Yes.
And 822-2228.
You got it.
Okay.
Hope to see you again soon.
Okay, thank
Aloha.
You so much. Aloha.
Bye. We just missed a caller. I didn't get it in time. I encourage that person to call back again. Sorry
okay.
about that.
And then when we are announcing things, I did get my internet up. Umi Perkins, and she is teaching about Native tenant rights. So that is the other voice that's going to be at the Halawai Kuakoa. And there's good food and different things like that. There's usually maybe about 100 people there, and it's very interesting. So I've learned a lot on that. 5:30 to 8:30, Friday, March 25th. Handful of things that are coming up tomorrow. This is a really nice thing. At Princeville Library. There's free tax help from AARP for seniors and lower-income people. I don't know that they're going to card anybody on that, but to help people, and these are retired accountant tax type of people, and that's from 2 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday. I want to say a week from this Sunday, the Lions Club is having their breakfast, pancake breakfast. That's on the Hanalei side, the North Shore. It's at Hanalei Elementary School Cafeteria. That's always really great. They raise a lot of money, and it goes for academic scholarships for kids from this area. We'll be bringing up a handful of different event days, things coming up on the show today, too. I'm just having to pull them up on the Internet as I'm talking. We had this wonderful blessing last Sunday at Kilauea Community Farms. That's a co-stewardship agreement. And the mayor, Office of Economic Development, George Costa was there. Kumu Kehau, she did a really great blessing. So many good things. Yosh is the executive director of that effort, and we're excited to see that coming up. And George Costa is going to be our guest on this show next Tuesday. So we will be brainstorming and hearing about different ways to help people make ends meet through greater economic development. That means creating good opportunities where people can have businesses and ways to earn money. So that's a very good system. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall.
Felicia, we just had a caller ask if you've got it right. Is the Halawai tomorrow or Friday?
Did I say tomorrow?
I believe
I
you
might
did.
Have. Okay, I'm wrong. Thank you for correcting me. It is this Friday, March 25th. This Friday, not Wednesday. Friday. All of them are Friday evenings about once a month.
Thank goodness for our callers.
Thank goodness for our callers. Golly. Sorry. Okay, so that was excellent. I have to make a comment that why it's so important to be paying attention to who is voted into office and understanding what goes. I, without going into any detail, again this morning I was at the courts. And so we just have such a two-tiered system of justice. It's really, really sometimes heartbreaking to be in there with or without intention. The system, in my opinion, favors the powerful. It favors those who can afford it. And whether these are small laws or whatever else, if you don't have money, usually the system doesn't work very well for you. And part of that is through being educated and being able to understand how best to utilize the system. So paying attention, finding the right person is all good.
No, we do not have a caller, Felicia. Thank you. That person just wanted to talk to me. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yep, there was a workshop this past weekend on the Namahoy, the a voyaging canoe that is kind of reaching finish here on Kauai. So that's a really exciting piece of news. And what when we get our guest in, and hopefully he's listening, I gave him an assignment to listen to the show. That's going to be Matt Bernabe. The joint fact-finding study, you know, that came out. We talked about it last week. I felt like we had a diverse discussion in here. We had Gary Hauser basically championing the side that people say they want to know more information and people who are concerned about having close proximity to the pesticides, and then Alan Parrachini, who has faith in the system that the label is the law and that works. And he had made the comment that it would be great if the joint fact-finding study had happened ahead of all of our marches and all those things. And I know that he has, in truth, he's looked at this whole topic very, very closely. And when it was underway, he was giving some, I don't want to say advisement, but he had input going on in understanding, you know, what are legal ramifications. He's has some background in that. But, you know, I tried to think about what he was saying. Okay, the state. And I kind of pointing out, or maybe many people know, but newer people don't realize how much effort had been made to get it to the state legislature, to communicate with the Department of Health and the Department of Ag, and that it was an act of profound frustration from the community, where they're so frustrated that, you know, they're screaming to the county to help with that issue. And so I saw, even just last Friday, two different groups went over to Oahu. So I want to give them a shout out. We had a team of about five or six different people who went to go see the Department of Ag in the agriculture. That's Scott Enright, and in those pictures I saw Carol Hart, who she's a Lomi Lomi instructor practitioner from Kekaha, and Fern Rosensteel, Malia Chun, her mother Lorna Cummings Poe, some different people like that went over. I have to look at the picture, maybe Gary as well, to talk to the governor and about this, along with Scott Enright. And the governor hadn't even looked at it. He hadn't read it. And, you know, the best they could get out of him was to say that, all right, I'll read it. And the two daughters had come who had had their hair samples taken with 8 restricted-use pesticides, 36 pesticides total. And these things can give cognitive problems. These are beautiful, bright young women.
And they were there? The children were there?
The children were there. And still yet, you know, a very, very tepid response. And it might be everybody's afraid of liability or I don't know what. But when there is not what I consider clear leadership that is able to say, I hear you. I understand that this is very important. I see that the recommendations of the joint fact-finding group are very similar to what was the outcry of the community, even when there is representatives of both sides of that issue on there. So That was really pretty discouraging for that group. I'm kind of trolling right now for them to call in. I've been in communication with them. They might be calling in to share and express what their experience was there, but it is, you know, every time they go over, every time this is done, it's a lot of personal cost for people to go, and it takes a lot of energy and intention to go in and be able to get that audience. The people, the Friends of Mahalapu, also went over, and they wanted to talk to the Department of Health to see if that's Dr. Ginny Pressler, if she had, you know, looked at what they'd been asking for. Ginny Pressler was also over for a discussion that happened with Dow and Syngenta and people who were concerned. And, you know, I happened to know at first, after they bought the tickets, the appointment was canceled. They had to really work hard to coerce that meeting to continue to happen. These are, you know, several hundred dollars a ticket.
They went to Oahu and then had their meeting canceled.
The meeting was canceled after they bought the tickets. So they managed to get the meeting to happen, but they went and they expressed what their concerns were, and the report back was that no feedback was given. Nothing was said back. Just like when the governor says, well, I didn't read it, and then so he made a commitment to read it, and when he was asked, how would you feel if this was your children? The reaction was, well, I don't know. But, you know, most of the time, you would know. You would know how you would feel. So when there's, it can come across as indifference. And we can't know what's in somebody's mind and heart. But it really feels discouraging. I've also seen all over the internet, on social media, what is happening on Maui with these pictures of the profound cane field burning. And they have, you know, the cane companies are going under. That is unfortunate for the workers there. There's been, you know, on that island, a lot of concern over what happens with the respiratory issues. And looking at those pictures, I mean, it's like a more intense burn than I remember used to happen here. I don't know if there was, you know, almost a vengeance and going, okay, you know, we're really going to let it burn or not. But I see that community also very, very frustrated that their concerns are being met with a deaf response, not much of a suggestion.
Do you know if there's any development on what they are going to grow there now when sugar's gone?
Well, I think there's a lot of thoughts that are going into it, but I can't speak with authority of what might be there.
Sure.
One of the things, you know, has been suggested is hemp, but that is, you know, that's a special product to be coming out in a test level. And anytime there is a product, whether people are, you know, whether it's even legal or not legal, which is a challenge that hemp has, we still need to be able to think about what the water usage, you know, how likely it could go wild. Would we have a New Guinea grass? Is there a market? Is the shipping cost too extensive to be sending it somewhere else? So if they decided to just do hemp everywhere or canaf or one of these crops, you don't really know what the consequence is. So it's a very big investment to do it. And, you know, like looking at the pro-industrial ag perspective on all this stuff is a very big challenge, because it's a huge infrastructure investment to get behind a particular crop and to develop the market and to be able to have the right contracts and planning process to be getting it across and over the ocean. It's really a very, very big process.
And yet they've got to put something in those fields.
They do, but you can look at what happened with sugar here, and something didn't necessarily go in there for some time. You know, we see a lot of fields that basically gone fallow, and you can't always put something in there. It's easier said than done,
I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's in theory you have to put something in there, but
I don't know. That's just such prime land over on Maui where that cane was being grown. I can't imagine that sitting fallow and nothing being done there.
Well, I think that what becomes a very big concern is then it turns out to be housing or different types of development,
right.
And that, again, is water use. And we complain on the one hand that there's not enough housing, but then on the other hand, no, we don't want any development. You know, none of it's easy on this very small piece of land. We had, I think, definitely online, but people asking what is that big cultivation area just to the south of Sleeping Giant Mountain in Wailua. And so what I have learned is that is eucalyptus being planted for the green energy biomass facility. And, you know, again, how do we get our energy? Do we keep bringing oil over here, or fuel, or how do we do it? So that this was one of the suggestions. Many people are adverse to eucalyptus. I guess that is a high water consuming plant. It definitely changes what happens downstream. So I know that, like, in this position on the show, when I hear complaints and unhappiness about whatever the plans are, it's like, well, how do we balance that? What becomes the solution? What do you put in, and how do you do it where people aren't unhappy? It's not easy. I want to go to that power plant, too. My understanding is that the water in it's got a lot of iron in it, and then so, you know, the turbines are struggling to stay up and running well. That was something that hadn't been anticipated, and that's a specially lathed plant all the way over there, done in Europe, I think, Germany. So that's a challenge. If people would like to call in, it's 826-7771.
You know, Felicia, I want to give a shout-out to our tree-trimming crew up here on the North Shore. We had them in, and they're just great guys. And there was an injury recently.
Was it where he got his hand cut?
Or yeah.
Was it a different one? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really risky work they're doing in it. They're doing it at night in order to inconvenience us.
To not
less.
Inconvenience us, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're doing a great job. They are way ahead of schedule. In fact, they're almost done. Months ahead of schedule. So, yeah, my thoughts go out to him and his family.
Paul, yes, mm-hmm. That's his name. Cut his hand. But thank goodness it's not worse.
Right.
So that's really excellent, and they seem to be doing a very good job. Okay, I'm pausing here because I'm having a little bit of trouble with my internet. I want to be able to see. We have a Hyena Fisheries meeting coming up. I believe that is April 12th, and it's going to be at Kilauea Cafeteria. That is another co-stewardship agreement. And then we have another agriculture meeting that is about the Nene impacts. And so I will be pulling up that a little bit later. How are you looking at the primaries? Is it looking like anything's coming up?
There are not results in, but interesting. We're seeing that there are huge turnouts in Arizona and in Idaho. There's apparently a line outside of one building extending for a mile, wrapping around several blocks downtown. Huge turnouts out there, and so we'll see what that means. You know, are they new voters just getting involved in the political process and being drawn out? And that's on the Democratic side right now. That's where those crowds are coming out. I don't have information on the turnout for the Republicans. But, one potential is that those are people excited about Bernie Sanders and getting involved for the first time. So we'll see.
Well, I think that that's really exciting. I know this Saturday is the presidential preference poll. And I was speaking with the director for my precinct, which is in Kilauea. And what we're really trying to recommend for people, if you are not registered as a Democrat, it's important to maybe print out that registration sheet and fill it out and bring it in. You do have to go to your local precinct, and it's between 12 and 1 o'clock that you go up there. We have a caller. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia?
Yes.
Hi. Yeah, I haven't gotten the paper today, but a friend of mine called and said on page 5 there is a law firm that is asking for people who have had any negative consequences from the pesticide herbicide use on Kauai. Page 5, I haven't, as I said, looked at it, got it. It's a team, a lawyer's team. They're looking for people who are interested in seeking a solution to their complaints, their issues, their illnesses, because they cite a study that very clearly links glyphosate and other pesticide ingredients to negative health consequences.
So you're talking about page 5 in the newspaper?
Yeah, the Garden Island.
The Garden Island from today?
Yes.
And can you please give us the title of that article so people could search on it?
I'm sorry, I cannot, because I don't have the newspaper in front of me.
Okay.
Page 5, that's all she said.
Okay, so I will try and look it up. Or Marshall, can you look that up?
Give it a shot.
So, because a lot of times people will be seeing it online and not physically in front of them.
True, that's true.
So I'm trying to understand a little bit better what's being asked. It's being asked for people who are wanting to be a part of a lawsuit or a part of a study?
Part of a lawsuit, people who have had individual issues with their health that feel that they are related to, because there has been an organization that has done a study that links the use of these pesticides, very specifically glyphosate and other ingredients in Roundup, to negative, to bad health.
So do you see a phone number or a contact in that?
I haven't seen the announcement, so I have no idea. But yes, I understand there is the name of the law firm as well as the address and phone number.
Okay, all right. And how about you? Are you affected by this, or are you
not immediately? Not that I'm aware of it, but I have friends in the Kekaha and Waimea side that have said they feel they're health issues are related to that, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling.
The other thing that I have to mention is that, oh, well, actually, two. On Trevor Long, no, Trevor Noah's Daily Show, he had a man by the name of S-H-A-K-K-U-R-S-E-G-S-E-N-G, O-H-O-R, writing, W-R-I-T-I-N-G, my wrongs, talking about the warehousing of people, 20 years he spent in jail, a lot of that in solitary.
Okay.
He has a website, www.beyondprisons.
Okay, and I know that that has been a very big issue.
A big issue, a huge issue.
Yeah.
Big issue.
A big issue. In fact, I'm in a letter correspondence with somebody from here that is in Eloy, Arizona, and he's been in solitary confinement for, 10 years or more.
I'm a correspondent of that same person.
Oh, okay.
And, all right, so the other issue, I can't remember offhand. Okay. All right, if I may remember it, I'll think about
okay.
You call.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Oh, yes, I remember the third issue. Hello, Felicia?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you go into, on April 4th, they're having a HAPA gathering, I believe, because they were talking about it on the Thursday Talk Story program, April 4th at either the Veterans or the Peace Memorial Hall. That's Monday.
Is
and they're going to be talking about that fact-finding.
This is HAPA, like the HAPA Hawaii?
Yeah, the Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action. And it's about the fact-finding group that on the pesticide study.
Okay, well, I know that the public discussion is happening on that same day.
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. So, and that's at Hapa?
Well, no. I mean, as I understand it, that is, they are one of the groups that will be presenting sponsoring that. And I would just like some more information about what will be the information that will be presented and what we're to do. I understand on the 6th we need to have our comments on the...
The deadline is the 8th, and it is very important to be working on that. This Thursday I'm going to be on Out of the Box with Jimmy Trujillo, and we will have Peter Adler, who is the organizer of the whole study, and he's going to be a guest on the show in the second half of the hour.
Yeah.
So we will go much more in-depth on that on this Thursday.
Yeah, but, you know, what was curious to me was that they were not clear whether that meeting on a Monday was at the Veterans Hall near the airport or in the Memorial Hall near Wilcox School and the library.
Okay. Well, maybe Marshall can be looking that up. I know I have announced the exact location of where that meeting is, and it's definitely out in public. It has not been not out there. It's just not in front of me right now.
Yeah.
I was looking at something else, Felicia. Can you repeat that? What is?
Okay, I'll find it in a minute. Okay, so thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I could not find the article that she was referencing. Maybe we could have a listener call in that information. But you know what I did see? Did you notice that Zika, there's a case of Zika virus on Kauai?
I did see that. That's the front page of the paper.
Yeah, that's pretty big news there.
Pretty big news, but I think what it also says in there, that person is staying at home and that, you know, not to panic.
Well, no, nobody should panic. Do you know Dilip Ball?
Dilip Ball,
Ball.
He is the Department of Health for Kauai.
Yeah, maybe we could have him in as a guest.
We could try.
It would be nice to get some facts about this because there is no reason to panic, but it's always good for everyone to be informed.
I can give him another call.
He's a little ahead of me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have tried to call him a number of times on a number of different issues, and not easy.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I was on Maui in 2006 when dengue arrived there, and Dr. Lauren Pang was our district health officer, and he was just fantastic, and he led the island through a mosquito eradication effort that was successful in ridding Maui of dengue, and that's very unusual. Usually when it hits a place, it becomes pandemic, and it did not. And what I really took away from that was if you take away the mosquito breeding sites, you cut the chain of reproduction and you defeat them. And that's really what we need to concentrate on.
Yeah, and it's easier for some than others. Like, I'm probably a problematic household because I have so much plants in my yard and little damp places. You know, they breed right in the crevices of plants. And certainly turtle ponds and things like that. Although the turtles, they do eat the baby larvae.
Right.
But a lot of times... that what that means is flipping over things like empty coconut husks, all different kinds of things that could be holding water. Bromeliads hold water for it. It's
right. That's it. We've really had to get sort of merciless in terms of getting rid of any standing water, whether it's in a plant or in a puddle or in a tire or anywhere else.
Another big place for that is the rain gutters on the house, you know, just making sure that they're clear to leaves and debris so that the water comes out and goes, flipping over buckets, containers, anything like that that can be sitting there and having that water standing.
Yeah, and what a fringe benefit that we have fewer mosquitoes. That's always nice.
That's definitely a fringe benefit. You mean from being precautious?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hopefully we've heard the last of that, but something to watch for sure.
I know. I wonder how dengue on Hawaii Island is doing, because that one had become a little bit problematic there. So that is That's good. I'm pausing a little bit here. A lot of times we're able to just pull things right up on the internet, and as I've been studying the joint fact finding and trying to pull those things up to just get those facts, it's challenging because it's bringing me up with information that is like 2015. I'm not even getting 2016 on my Google searches. But we really are appreciative of people who support Kauai Community Radio, and I want to play Amy Goodman's piece right now. She does a great job.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. KKCR, you're on the air.
Oh, great. Hey, this discussion about dengue fever and the Zika, I guess is mm-hmm. what this other one is. You didn't hear Gordon Libetz on the radio yesterday, I guess, because
he
discussed this issue, or did you?
I was listening, and, you know, he said don't worry about it. So, I mean, I heard that. And then, but some people might still be worried about it. So what would you like to share?
Well, no, I'm just saying that worrying about it, that what he mentioned is that 17,000 people a year die of Advil. And we're focusing on maybe a few people getting sick, potentially maybe getting sick. And it was allegations that Zika had anything to do with the small brain syndrome or whatever they're calling.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was important, so we don't get carried away about the whole thing.
Well, I think it is very important. It's really critical to be able to be aware of where there are more serious problems. Like when you can look at that. Like when we talk about terrorism, if you compare how many Americans have died in the last 10 years in the United States as a result of people from the Mideast, and compare that to, like, how many people have died from prescription drugs and yeah. using it as they are prescribed. It's something like 100,000 people have died from an adverse reaction to prescription drugs.
Well, I didn't mean to say that we should just ignore it, but there is a balance there that is,
Gordon Libetz?
Gordon Libetz, yeah, he was implicating that this could have been something that was inspired by the chemical companies. So that there would be a fear in the area, that stuff is all around us now. We better rely a bit on poisons, the spray, for taking control of any kind of potential problem like that.
Well,
it also affects your perspective on it. Well, geez, maybe there's a good reason for those guys having all their insecticide and poison.
Well, I think I think that's a stretch, but I'm not going to be one to be placing blame on a third party like those companies that are right here yeah. on this.
No, but I just think in trying to balance what we think and feel about this situation, that should be considered as well.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
All right, great.
Thank you so much.
That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate your call. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. Matt Bernabe is our guest that will be coming up very, very soon. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store and The Copper Man.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
This is Jennifer Wipa, park ranger at Kilauea Point National Wildlife Refuge and home of the Daniel K. Inouye Kilauea Point Lighthouse. We want to let everyone know that the refuge, lighthouse, and nature store will be closed January 19th through April 30th. We will do our best to reduce the length of closure, but addressing erosion, undermining, and settling that are occurring along the pathway to the point is critical for public safety and visitation. We appreciate your patience and understanding. Mahalo.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Go Farm Hawaii at Kauai Community College is a not-for-credit program offering those interested in agriculture a combination of knowledge, experience, and support to assist them in becoming viable production growers. Wednesday, April 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. is the Ag Curious Seminar held at KCC's OCET building, room 106 C and D. Hear from successful farmers about their growing experiences and learn more about the Go Farm training program. More information and RSVP at 245-8318.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And who we have in the studio with us for this second hour is Matt Bernabe. Matt is somebody that many people have really gotten familiar with and to know because, Matt, you are regularly on at the county council meetings and you are running for county council this time.
Yes, I am. I'm on the ballot officially.
Yep, I saw that your paperwork is... right there. I just need you to put your mouth right on the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I needed to get further.
Yeah. No. Sometimes what happens is it can sound like you're down the hall. So, Matt, why don't we just start off and tell us why you have decided to run for office?
Well, you know, I've been asked this question several times, and I never was really prepared. I get long-winded and I get carried away, but. I actually wrote it down and summarized it so that I could read it today.
Okay.
For hundreds of years, Kauai's infrastructure has been subsidized by plantations. I am running on creating the language in the county charter that forces our county administration and its department heads to follow the best practices. For example, making a mandate minimum by mandating a minimum criteria required in their prospective fields for all department heads, especially human resources. You know, since I've been on the television, plenty of the county employees have been coming up to me. You know, not just citizens as well. But I'm actually shocked at how many employees, and I'm talking about multiple departments, from the buses, solid waste, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't have to go far because one of the most outspoken cases that I wasn't aware of is right here at your Hanalei Transfer Station.
Well, he's got a really big beef. Yes, you're talking about what I call the garbage juice. He's got a technical term for it. These sanitation workers are very akamai, very smart about what's going on. They're very responsible, and they're concerned about it leaking into the watershed.
And that's only one area. I mean, he has told me other things that maybe weren't as severe on the radar that has frightened me. And one of them is he had gotten stopped by the DOT at a weigh station. Department of Transportation. And they didn't issue a ticket because it was a county vehicle. But the problem with that is that doesn't force the county to comply with just putting a simple thing like a scale so that they can have the right weight for the vehicles when they leave to transfer all the way to Kekaha. But as a CDL driver, that's a commercial driver's license. They're held responsible. So if they're overweight and they cause an accident, you know, they're fully liable under that license. And so, you know, you tell that kind of story to a lot of people and it might go over their head. But to me, when he communicates, that's one issue. But the problem is he communicated that up to human resources. And in turn, instead of having a mechanism to process it and move it through the channels to get it resolved, they actually kicked back and, you know, made it hard on him. And so that's what I recognize as the problem. And so as a county council member, you know, you have indirect control of this. And when things come up on the agenda that have directly related to these kind of things for funding, I'm going to be hard on them and I won't pass it. And I'll urge my fellow council members not to pass it. You know, if they're not doing, you know, the best practices, and part of being the best practices is due process. You know, the lack of due process or the hastening of it. I've seen both. I've seen zero and I've seen it sped up.
So let's help a listener who doesn't understand that phrase, due process. Okay. What is due process
mean? I have an example that we can sum this whole story up. At the roundabout in Kapaa, where it goes up Olahena to the middle school, there's a bike trail that they just recently created. It's not much. It's paint, got a guardrail. You know, it's got that big arrows in the center of the road coming down. They received and expended money without asking the council's approval. They implemented that bike trail with no public hearings, no any hearing at the county level. The only agenda that they ever put on was asking the council to create a resolution to make it legal after the fact. So I call it after the fact resolution. And only one of seven voted to deny. The rest of them, 6-1, basically said, okay, we accept your bad behavior and keep on as businesses.
So if I could interpret that correctly, due process means going through the channels and making sure they ask permission in the right way.
Correct.
And then, you know, it sounds like when it's an after-the-fact thing, if it was a miscellaneous person out there and they did something after the fact, especially if it was not a well-heeled or rich person who did something after the fact, they might have a lot of consequences. And so you're saying it's not fair.
Well, yes. And what I'm really saying is that as a council, they're the checks and balances to the administration. And so what they should have done, in my opinion, is they should have voted 7-0 to deny them the resolution and force a charter review, which forces us into another part of the conversation. One of the reasons we have so much waste, fraud, and abuse is because, like I said in my written speech, we basically have been subsidized, which created a lot of lapses in this due process that we talk about.
Who's we? When we have been subsidized, is that the county government?
Well, yes, the county government. And when, for example, in the water, they only worried about the domestic potable water and nothing else. The plantation took everything in control. And so when the plantation left, they let it go for a free-for-all, and we've all seen how that's ended up. That's a short example of what I'm talking about.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you right, you are saying for 100 or so years, the plantations took care of this stuff, and then as the plantations have gone away,
We failed to implement the language or the policies to safeguard us to where we are today.
So when we fail to do that language, that means in the charter, which is like the constitution of the county.
Yeah. And I'm giving you concrete examples. For example, we don't have a qualified in the field of human resources, human resource manager. Janine Raposo, is that human resources? I get them mixed up between her and Nakamura, but I think it's Janine Raposo.
And Nakamura, she is the managing director of the county, so she's the person who kind of looks after the business of running the county. She's right under the mayor. Jane Raposo had been the buses. She had run the buses.
And now she's human resources.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I'm correct on the person that I am talking about. Thank you. And she's not qualified. She doesn't have a history in human resources. When you talk in the professional world, that's like the nerve center for functioning at a high, you know, at a high capacity in the sense of minimal waste, minimal fraud opportunities. Right, right now there's no teeth to punish anything that's going on.
Okay, so I want to ask something. Fraud is a pretty loaded word. Fraud is a crime. Fraud is a felony. So fraud.
But you can't prove it. That's my point.
Well, fraud. I'm just asking. Fraud shows intention. It's well, not I'm, just a mistake.
No, I'm not accusing. What I'm saying is when you don't have. When you don't have specific language to dictate policy or process, that leaves a lot of gray area for if it's waste, it doesn't have to be by intent. I mean, it can be whatever it is. It can be just not doing the job correctly.
It's inefficiencies.
Inefficiency, yes. And we're just going to call it, you know, what it really is. It's just an opportunity for waste fraud because there is the potential for fraud.
Yeah, fraud is intention.
Yeah, but there's potential for that when there's the opportunity it presents itself. And so if we insert in the county charter language that says, oh, the head of human resources has to have 5 years of this or a degree in this or whatever the best practices is, right? We just had a seminar on putting on the ballot an initiative for the county manager. And so I'm arguing that we just need to have people in a county council that's willing to challenge their administration or its departments when they go and don't want to obey, not obey, I don't want to use the word obey, but conform to best practices.
Yes, and then yesterday was a charter review commission, and it's really interesting to watch these charter review commission meetings because their hands are so tied in some ways. They, like, big issue is trying to change commas and make the language more correct. They almost can't do it. They've spent 3 years working on it, and at least the county attorney who is behind that says, oh, no, it's too substantial of changes to just make. But what you brought up, where the county has gone from having the tremendous support of the plantations to losing that and having to add a whole lot more onto it, none of that was necessary when the charter was first written. So there are systemic challenges within the charter. So when I have watched this stuff with the county manager versus mayor system, you know, it really would need a lot of changes to the charter, and that is something that probably really needs to be taken a good look at whether or not we went to a county manager system. A big challenge I have right now, though, is this charter review commission, no fault of their own, but that is not in front of Hawaii television. It's not on camera. It isn't being looked at. And so there, it really matters, like planning commission and council. Those people are held accountable, and there's more sunlight. I mean, there's layers and layers of challenges in this.
Well, it's funny you should use that term, more sunlight, because as anybody watched the county council, I like to shine the light. And basically, that's what it is. I'll have more access to some of these, you know, executive sessions that I'll be able to study and get a better bead on the specific areas where there could be strengthened language to upgrade and modernize, you know, our county charter, as you so eloquently just reworded for me. And I want to say, you know, it kind of reminds me of me going to Kapaa school.
Okay.
When I was in Kapaa school, it was a full-blown plantation education. Okay? Towards my high school, Mr. Hamada was the vice principal, and now he's the principal of Kapaa. And that high school is so in the 21st century. And that's kind of where I see the county council needs to start thinking. And they have to really, they need a fast, accelerated learning curve that they're on TV. Everything's at the speed of electronic touch, and the shenanigans that's been going on for decades is no longer possible. And we need somebody that's going to go in and challenge that and not afraid. Well, you know, I'm kind of shocked that I've I you know, not that I want to say people are afraid, but a lot of people don't want to talk out loud. And that I've noticed, I guess I'm unique where I'm willing and I want to.
I think it's because there can be a consequence. You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and I have Matt Bernabe in the studio with me. He is running for county council. So those things that we're talking about, while they are important, like the scales, they definitely need a scale at the main transfer station. I don't want to call them capillaries, but they aren't the jugular of the problem that is the challenge. And I'm not even blaming individuals, at least when I'm asking this question. I've learned to try and ask questions of, like, how can we solve problems without being required to make somebody else wrong?
Absolutely.
So let's just look at this for a moment. What do you see as the most critical issues in Kauai, on Kauai? If you were going to be going at the jugular of what challenges the county, both at the government level and as just the economy here from running, what is the biggest challenge that you see faces this island?
Well, if you took the populist vote, I would say it would probably be traffic. That's what I get. A lot of people talk to me when they...
Well, that might be the most annoying problem.
No, that's the most populist one that they talk to me.
That might be the most popular thing.
Yes, absolutely.
But, like, how do we fix the traffic problem? Like, what is... If you're trying to go to the very core, what is the core problems that can help a lot of the rest of this unwind?
Okay, so both the traffic problem and the core problem are correlated. When you talk about the roads division and they do those projects like the illegal bike path that I just mentioned earlier, and I will call it illegal because they did it illegally. It's legal now because of the resolution.
So that's Public Works, right? The Department of Public Works.
Roads, yes, exactly. Public Works, Roads Division.
Okay.
And however, they are taking away assets that they could be solving the current problems. Okay, and so... Another example is the Tiger Grant that they've applied 4 years ago to reconstruct Rice Street. However, Rice Street at the time was only 8 years old. And so when you got a whole division so focused, going to county meeting after county meeting and spending all the time, and they sell it to you as a good thing because you're getting $13 million, but we only have to put $2 million into it. But the reality is, that road is one of our best roads that we have in inventory. And there really isn't a traffic problem. And they publicly take the stance that they want to slow down the traffic to make it more booming like Kapaa. And then in a second hand, they'll say, oh, Kapaa's problem, the businesses are suffering because of the traffic. And so I think just having common sense and smart decision making. Right now, I don't see that much smart decision making on both sides of the field. You know, I'll see pockets of it here and there, but it's just not consistent, and they use it to whatever they decide they want to back.
Well, I'm watching too, you know, and so I see that there's almost not, by the structure of how the government runs, there's not a very good opportunity, at least it's not evident to me, of where there's an opportunity to look holistically, to look at the whole picture and say, how are we going to address all of these and balance them? You know, we look at one aspect, then the next aspect, then the next aspect. And so each decision is made, you know, as it comes up. And so it goes on the agenda and a decision is made, but that you don't get to look 5 months down the road at something else. So that can be pretty challenging.
Yes, absolutely. And to answer that part of the question, the long game is to really become financially independent and really using one of our best exports that could be real edible food. You know, I would like to see the county have processing units that all the farms, including the big ones and the small ones, together with the created the new businesses to actually work with Matson, have the people that are going to buy it, either if it's in the California or if it's in the Asian market. You know, if it's we have... We have a lot of sun. If we got our ditch system, I've always advocated from the start about fixing our ditch systems and getting the water to everyone. And I went to the USDA, and all we really need is a few processing units that have fresh potable water, and you can use ditch water to farm. And so all we need to do is really get together with all the players. That's the big landowners, that's the small farm guys, that's yourselves with the out here with all of your coalition, right?
That meaning the small regenerative farmer, the organic farmers?
Yes, the permacultures, I believe you guys are
permaculturists, yeah.
Yes, I believe you guys are referred as the permacultures. And that way, when the state wants to hijack us and with money that we should be at least getting us scaled up, right? We shouldn't be only a million over what we were in 2007. Because that's the excuse. They say, oh, we gave you more. But if you look at the numbers, they only gave us a million more than we got right before the recession.
Are you talking about the transit accommodation tax?
Yes, I am.
That money is what comes from people on vacation paying for their housing, I mean their hotel rooms, and what that's intended for is to help the visitor industry cover some of the impacts on the roads and the police and the fire and the rescues and all of the rest of that, the garbage pickup. So that's what transit accommodation tax is. And there was a great presentation by the Maui councilman. You were at that meeting.
It was so good.
Compelling to see how much the state takes away from the islands. And Kauai kind of was in the worst position, really.
Yeah, and you know, I added on off the record because that was actually a presentation and it didn't take public testimony on that guy. That was the chairman of the county of Maui's council. And off the record, I actually added that the movie industry deal that the state brokered is all tied into this pyramid. And, you know, we paid them in 2014 $34 million. And we only collected 19.2 on tax.
Relative to the movies?
No, we paid. There was 42 productions in 2014, including Jurassic World. They made a deal. The state makes a deal. This is their deal. And it's because they're fearful that they go and film somewhere else. And we paid them as a state $34 million. And we collected $19.2 million. And they say that there was associated $270 million spent. That's their estimate. But the problem with that is some of that estimate is the flights that they book from the mainland, and the airlines gets a lot of that money and this, that. It's not a true figure, first of all. However,
because a lot of that money ends up outside of Hawaii. If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that the state of Hawaii subsidized these films that came in.
They did. And one of their justifications for this subsidy is that we get all the advertisement for tourists. But as we just pointed out, the county is incurring the cost of the foot traffic.
So let me ask you this. What is your opinion on tourism? Do we need to grow? Do we need to go smaller? What do you feel about how people are able to hold on to their houses through renting out a spare room at a nightly level? How do you feel about allowing for additional income to come on farms? You know, what do you think about bed and breakfast situations as opposed to transient vacation rentals and then the hotel industry?
Well, first of all, that's a very good topic. You know, most of the TVRs, first of all,
transient vacation rentals.
Yes, it's not a secret that a lot of them are out of state, if not out of country, LLCs,
limited liability corporations.
Yes, that if I remember the numbers correct, 42% of properties owned on neighbor islands, Maui and Kauai, I think were equal. Big Island was a little different, and Oahu actually was the lowest. It's owned by outside entities. They're not even from the country, if I read that correctly. Or it might be at least outside of the state, and a lot of them outside of the country.
Outside the country, heavier on Oahu than here. But anyway, go on.
Outright, yes, but percent-wise, I think the percentage of properties is lower because there's a lot more properties.
Okay, so what are you building on with that idea?
Well, for the TDRs, you know, I'm not really if they're not in a VDA, a visitor destination area, I'm not for that. And you know, some of the ag lots that have the county has been a part in forcing them to create what's happened out on this side. And so they really are on the hook, and they really have to come to a deal. And the deal is they're starting to work it out. Some of the process I've seen has been challenged by third-person parties.
And I've been watching that, and it's actually painful to watch, but go on.
Oh, okay, so you're aware of what I'm talking about.
I am
about.
Very aware of it,
okay.
And I go in into the Planning Commission meetings, and, it's heart-wrenching because we have all these little subtle conflicts, and so this is the thing. It's really easy, especially if speaking to people who aren't sharp on these subtleties. I don't even know what all this thing is, but it is not easy to make the right choice when you're in council. I mean, these or in the planning department, all of these things have a powerful consequence, and there's a lot of collateral damage, like people lose their homes, lose their livelihood, because we have these huge infrastructure costs. Like I went to one of these things on a bed and breakfast that was a third-party intervention in Hyena this past weekend. What's tough for me is I like everybody in the room. It's not like there's a bad guy in the room. But we take some of the sweetest people on the island, happen to be this couple, and tearing their lives apart because they're renting some rooms out in the house.
And may I add, she physically didn't look well. I was in the room. I was in the meeting. And she looked very stressed.
Well, I think that that's an understatement. And when somebody's in their 70s, I mean, I sit there and I watch it and I think, okay, are we actually killing this family by having these rules? And in that case, this is something in Hyena. And, you know, people have to build so hard and so high, literally, like this is 16 and a half foot off the ground. People have elevators, and you know, what does it take? What kind of capacity do you have to invest? And that's the challenge that comes behind our county, is that the infrastructure costs are so crazy high. How do you pay for this? So these people, they design a house to be able to support the cost of the house.
Absolutely.
And you pretty much have to live in a business to be able to do it. And so when we say that you can't have a business, then we're saying you can't live here.
Well, I think they jumped the gun on grandfathering in the TVRs for sure.
The vacation rentals.
Yeah, they should have. From some of the things that I've seen, I don't know how you can grandfather an illegal operation. That's my question. And I might be able to go and read the transcripts that are all related to that.
Okay, and I want to answer that.
Oh, you have an answer. Okay.
Well, I have an answer. I'm sorry that I'm probably got too much opinion here because
that's fine.
You and I see each other all the time at the council, and so we're definitely watching these issues, and you know, some things just are avoided in being permitted. There are some things that there's issues that just kind of get pushed out. And so maybe people have a business. I'm not meaning necessarily that one, but there are beach rentals and there are different things that people kind of look the other way. There's a number of issues. I don't even want to give them voice on the radio. There are a number of areas where people are breaking potentially the law, and it is being quietly looked the other way because it would destroy our residential community if it wasn't. But at some point, when finally everything has to get looked at, do we essentially have people tear their houses down or whatever that means? How do we get from A to B and do it humanely?
Well, I think part of that answer is really looking into real property tax and getting a handle on that beast. There's 35,000 taxable parcels, and we break it down into 1,500 different neighborhoods.
And you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Matt Bernabe, candidate for county council, is discussing real property taxes. Continue.
Yes. We flip-flop back between two methods within mass appraisal method of valuation. And they use a cost method for some people, and they use a market value for many other people. And so right there, some people are getting preference. For example, there's a lot of big fallow lots that are being really discounted at like $50 an acre, whereas other people that have a 10, maybe 15-acre lot are getting hammered with market value costs. And these aren't, and I'm not, and I'm just going to say it, these aren't people that moved here. These are local people that have pastures that are, like, come up to me and they're like, you know, my cousin so-and-so get one different tax rate than me. And so I stumbled onto that, and I started to look into it, but I lost a lot of time. However, in a county council position, I'll be able to dissect and spend lots of time helping get that mess.
And I'm smiling. I'm not smiling that some people are having that hard time. I rarely hear that happening to local people. Generally, you hear that, and we call that a Howley tax, you know.
I got to tell you, it's not. I know plenty of locals
who have the same challenge.
Cousins get the same size lot, and one's in a different neighborhood adjacent to an A and B or something like that, and they get classified differently. And then somebody's up in Kalaheo Hills in the middle of those nice houses, and they're paying market value.
Okay, so let's zoom the lens out for a moment for the people who don't understand these subtleties. Something that's very important about real property taxes is that's the main bloodline of funding into the county. The main source of income for the county that they generate themselves is real property tax. And so it does matter, and it does affect how people are basically flushed off the island or encouraged. Now, what has happened, I believe that we've had what's called ad valorem taxes for the past 10 years, and that means at value, and we didn't have that before. And we now have debt. Have you noticed how much debt we have currently?
I did not. I have not looked at that.
You have a guess?
Oh, we probably are. I know we owe for the state.
We owe
a lot just alone to the state. We owe into the state employee.
When I was running for office 2 years ago, I looked pretty closely at that. And at that time, so that's almost 2 years ago, $188 million.
Yeah, I think it's a little more now.
Well, it is a little more. It's not easy to see how much is there, because in this past 6 months, came before council, I couldn't believe that they did not vote for it, is that it came up, should we be looking at our debt level? I feel like we need something right on the county website or where it's internal, where we see like what would be like a QuickBooks spreadsheet. We need to know where's our gas gauge,
yes.
Where are we at? And when those things aren't looked at regularly, it's easy to make a mistake. It's like always charging on your credit card instead of paying cash, you know, so then you're going to know how much you have. So we need to look at that. But with this non-resident investor taxes, when you're saying 40% of the people don't even live here, well, they get taxed to the hilt, right? They get taxed quite a bit higher than those of us who do live here.
And that's probably why they let them stay.
Well, and it might be why in the zoning that there is more and more that is allowed. And it seems like there are certain communities that become the collateral damage for allowing that to happen. Because if you have $15 million parcels in a non-resident investor, well, then there's going to be quite a bit of money coming in. So that's what talking about, looking at a holistic thing of where we get our money and where we spend it. I'm going to go to some of the little details. I'm going to ask you a few things.
Well, I just wanted to mention one thing about the debt. When they went over the budget the last time, I had heard the numbers, and I paid attention to it in a sense that I knew there was some. And some of that goes to the state. We owe the state. But you're absolutely right. And that goes in with all the looking at the finances, looking at all that. That's like right up there with understanding the goal.
That is right up there with the jugular. It is about understanding municipal debt. And in my opinion, when I look across the country, we have predatory lending that goes out to municipalities. And what happens is often foreign investors end up being the private entity that picks up the airport or the bus station or the garbage thing. And so taxpayer infrastructure that was put in ends up being a profit center for a private industry. And that's predatory. It's happening across the country. This is a little bit the thunderclap behind, this is my opinion, but I've looked at it pretty intensively, behind what we had in the 2008 real estate bubble. And our taxes prior to, like in 2006, we had no debt and we had a surplus of about $60 million. And that was because there was all this increase and people didn't mind paying more taxes. They were able to do it because they were treating their houses like an ATM. They could get, you know, short-term loans and home equity loans on their houses. So,
and if I can add, my wife at that same period wanted to upgrade and move to another house. It would have been more expensive, and I actually had made the point that I like my house and I don't want to incur more costs, and I don't think that was in our budget. And that we still live in the same house, and I love that house. And she actually thanks me for talking her out of that. And I think the nation was intoxicated with that in that point in time. That was kind of systemic throughout the nation, and I've seen it here firsthand.
And one of the reasons it's systemic is because someone's fishing. I'm going to just share my thought is, you know, the banksters, the people who are paying attention to this, they're trolling. They're trolling the water. We had a big transfer of wealth from the retirement community and the lower and middle working class that happened in that real estate bubble. I feel like we're watching a trolling that's happening again.
Yes.
So that is a very big piece of what faces our county, and it's not that easy to address it. And the thing is when we're going, okay, we want the feds or we want the states to be coughing up that money, well, where does it come from? So I'm going to throw out a few different issues, and you can pick whichever one you want.
Okay.
These are things that I hear about on the backdrop of this show. The show happens on the air, but the big piece of it happens not on the air as people are bringing me their concerns. What is your position? I'm going to give you several of them, and you can pick what you want to answer or in any order. But on housing, animals, and when I say animals, I mean that in pets, you know, and what happens with the Humane Society. It's a much bigger thing than what might see on the surface. It's really very large. It's the little outcome is at the Humane Society, but that's a big issue. How would you like to see the agriculture lands used? And here's another one is about the nation of Hawaii. Like you can pick any of those or even something else. But those are ones that come up for me all the time.
Well, I will say this. On the Humane Society, I would like to see them ease up on some of the restrictions on adopting a pet. I understand that you have to have some kind of filter, and I recommend you just have good observation with them in person with the animal and let the animal pick the person as well. And as far as dog ordinance, which is related to the Humane Society, I just recently testified on it because they on the agenda had requested payment of $33,000 and some change.
From who? The county?
From the county to the Humane Society in payment for their dog ordinance enforcement. And Mel's argument was, you know, we want to see the numbers of what you've actually done it for. But my argument actually was I didn't think I was all for a law enforcement agent being the criteria to initiate a ticket process. However, I wanted a public process to see if we wanted it to be the county rangers, which were created after that lady got run over behind the golf course on the beach, or the police department, or a hybrid of the two, where the counties do the day or until 11 o'clock, because I believe they work till 11 o'clock, and the police could do the late, late nights. Or do we want it to be the Humane Society outright or the Humane Society in the day? Because they said they don't want to work past 4 o'clock themselves. And, you know, it kind of got fast-tracked right to $33,000 to Humane Society. And so nobody's had their input on who we would want as the officers.
Well, I have a question for you. Have you ever seen the contract between the county and the Humane Society?
No, is it public?
I don't know, but I would like to see it because maybe it is such that it is animal control as opposed to animal adoption. Because when we see how many people are restricted from adopting a pet and how many animals are put to sleep, sometimes there are quotas and there might be a larger scheme than what is evident to the public. There seems to be a lot of evidence to that. So, and do you know if the they were going to do a why am I forgetting the name of it? They were doing a study. They were doing an inquiry, like a, oh my gosh, the word is, a performance evaluation, a performance audit. They were doing a performance audit. Do you know if that's been finished?
I haven't heard anything about the performance audit. And on the other topic, I would just like to say, as a county council member, I would actually look into something like that and to study that contract, because I also would like to see it. I got to be honest. I recently saw a puppy at a store, and I wanted to adopt it. And it was really hard because I had my daughter go and see what the criteria was. And the next thing I know, I had to bring my whole family in. This whole they wanted to know our finances. I was amazed at how hard it was.
At a store?
No.
It was at the Humane Society.
The Humane Society. The store babysits dogs on a rotation.
Okay.
Right there is the pet food store in Puhi, the organic
Petco.
One. Natural. No, it's not Petco.
Okay.
It's the natural one, I believe. I don't know the name, but it's kind of a natural one. And they have dogs that rotate through. And I always fall in love because I'm a dog guy. And this one just broke my heart, and I like to take those kind and, you know, re-socialize them. And I said, my daughters were all for it. My wife actually
You couldn't qualify for the dog.
And I could have, but I had to jump through so many hoops that it put a bad taste in my mouth, and I didn't like it. And I didn't go. And I didn't do it.
I mean, that's a pretty consistent story I'm seeing. Marshall, is the primary results showing up? I'm watching you watch something deeply.
Oh, you see it on my face.
I see it on his face. He's like looking at his computer, looking at me. What's up?
Yeah. Well, without any personal favoritism being expressed, Arizona has been won by Hillary Clinton. She has gained 40 delegates there to Bernie Sanders' 16. Now, Idaho and Utah have not reported yet. Those are the ones that are more likely to favor Bernie Sanders today. Hillary Clinton apparently didn't even campaign there so much, but very interesting.
And how much percentage of the vote is in?
It's only 1%.
Oh, well.
But apparently, for some reason, statistically, they've called it.
They've called it at 1%.
Yeah, they feel
sure enough. Well, that gives me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, right. And you know, on the Republican side, Donald Trump has won with such a resounding percentage that he has gained. This is in Arizona. Donald Trump has gained 58 delegates. Ted Cruz has 0, and John Kasich has 0.
Wow, so that is almost 100% lead for Donald Trump.
It's 100% lead. And so this is in a state with a large Hispanic population, and he's down there railing about building a wall and not just keeping new immigrants out, but kicking out people that are currently here. I don't understand it, honestly. I'll do some more reading.
having spent a good amount of my childhood in that state, at that time it felt like Arizona was as Republican as Hawaii is Democrat.
Mm.
That's what it had felt at the time anyway. I mean, you just... Like, if you were politically active, you were a Republican. I started my voting career without even thinking about it. Registering to vote was registering as a Republican.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but being a Republican doesn't equate with being a Trump supporter. In fact, you might even say the opposite. It's, the Republican Party may just have been commandeered this year.
It is very interesting. And, KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Felicia and Marshall on Kauai Soapbox with Matt Bernabe, county council candidate in the studio with us. Do you have some comments on how you feel like national politics influences life on Kauai?
Well, of course it does. But I will want to say real quick is that, oh, I'm sorry, am I away from the mic? I just want to say I'm actually going to the inauguration. My daughter and I with Kapaw School. I think we're the first school, I believe we're the first school to public school to represent at an inauguration. Where we were, they were invited.
Dr. The presidential nomination?
Yes.
Mm, wonderful.
We're going in 2017. And with that said, you know, there's a possibility of seeing Trump as our president. And what I will say is this, is that this is a fuse that kind of went too fast and blew up in their face, I think. Right? They established GOP.
They is the Republican Party, yep.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I'm a Bernie supporter. I'm going to vote for Bernie on, I believe we go Saturday. It's this Saturday, right?
That's correct. Saturday, be there like at 12. The real
voting
vote happens at 1.
Correct. And I will be supporting Bernie. And, you know, but I don't see him getting at this point. That was kind of some disheartening news, you know, listening to you give that report. But at the same time, we have to really focus, as well as focus on that race, we have to focus right here. And I used to be a big, I used to argue that, we cannot solve anything at the lower levels. And I really was convinced that you can get a lot done at the lower levels. I mean, we're not going to influence national policy, but we might safeguard an area, and when the time's right, we can galvanize it back.
And when we look at that, like in when George W. Bush first came in, and it really wasn't him, it was the Fed, when they dropped the prime interest rate down to 1%, that did the spike in the housing bubble, and so they had these adjustable rate mortgages that caused everybody to do a feeding frenzy into the real estate market. When things like that happen, it is outside the purview of the mayor. It's very, very hard to be able to dampen these type of swings like that. But it is really important to be watching for them and to be able to understand those macroeconomic dynamics. When you say you're supportive of Bernie Sanders, two of these things that I put out before, like housing and the nation of Hawaii, those are elements that Bernie Sanders is actually looking at. Income inequality, income disparity, and what has happened in social justice issues for indigenous peoples. What are your opinions on that?
Well, you know, I've testified at OHA meetings. And the first time I ever testified at an OHA meeting,
Office
of Hawaiian Affairs, I actually started my testimony with, for the record, in Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, for many, many years, I've supported all sides of the argument, because a lot of the arguments, they all have valid points. And who am I to say which one is right? And what I would say is I support, you know, them getting together and being recognized however they deem to be recognized. I'm not going to try and impose my opinion, you know, on what they should or should not do. But everybody in that community who knows me, they pretty much know that, you know, I'll go and bust banana stomp with them for make the emu drive for sell tickets to go to D.C. or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, and there are so many factions, like, in that argument, I could completely dive in on one side, and I can really offend the other side. And, you know, I'm not trying to play it safe. It's just the reality is that when I do testify, even in Hawaiian issues, I make it known where I stand as part of the community, but I'm not trying to hijack the process that for their self-recognition.
Right. And
Housing. You know, housing to me, I look at housing as a really big pyramid, because part of the problem out on the north side was the county's plan was to let the ditch line infrastructure decay so that they could justify selling off parts of the land as higher value to tie into their real estate, their real property tax. Right? Because they make money off real property tax. And, you know, along with that, and I'll use Molawa, halfway on Kolau Road, all the way to about halfway of Aliomanu, they denied them water. The county water department said, inadequate source. You either got two choices. You wait till we have an adequate source, or you go find your own, right? Now, if a developer has to build 12 wells to service 12 homes, how can we have affordable housing?
Right. Absolutely. And when we have these big infrastructure issues, even the same with the roads, all these different things, it is very expensive. And how do we, when we have $40,000 thin bus shelters and $400,000 park bathrooms, mm-hmm. how do we afford it? I know how we afford it. We get the Lions Club to go in there and build the bus shelters so they're not held accountable. Well, I'm looking at a lion in here.
Is it true that I heard that you guys haven't been responded to and you guys wanted to build more? Is that true? Or is that just a rumor on Kauai? I heard somebody, they wanted to build a couple more and they haven't heard back from the county.
Well, you know, these federal regulations, these federal regulations come in, and then all of a sudden you don't have a lot of latitude on how you can do things, and so it's incredibly expensive. We are going to have Jazz with John coming up at the top of the hour, and prior to that we're going to have the county council report. You're probably going to the council tomorrow.
I am. Can I just sum up my everything?
Please, I want you to.
Yeah, you know, all of these issues are tied into really just smart decision and good budgeting, you know, and budgeting might actually be saying, look, it's cheaper to buy a $25,000 scale than to have four different sets of people come and tell you what the problem is and have, you know, they hire people to come in and analyze the problem all the time, these experts. And all we need is to identify the redundancies, for one, right, that occurs at a lot of places, and identify the areas that we could tighten up the belt, so to speak. And that's what I was talking about earlier with the language. And we really can get this boat back afloat. I don't think we're that bad off. I think if we just have somebody that's willing to say that's not really good for the community, right, somebody who can outspeak them.
You can outspeak them.
That's a strong voice. No, that's what the people are telling me to use as my slogan. A strong voice.
I said, that's actually a pretty good, that's an accurate, you say a strong voice, you go, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, well, that's what the public is asking me, when they tell me, that's what they say, I'm a strong voice. You know, I'm from, born and raised Kapahi. I'm not supposed to be this guy. I'm not supposed to be the guy right here telling you guys the solution. I'm supposed to be the guy following. But I had kids. I had to grow up. I'm observing of my environment. I have a budget that I got to live by at my own house. Right? I have to make it work. I get my kids. They do all kinds of trips. I got to buy. Anybody does.
And they're doing amazing.
And I just wanted to throw my name in the game because I think I can be that guy.
And so let me ask you this. This is a couple things that I have as a little bit of a humbug out there with what's going on. How much time do you have available to focus on this job if you get it? Are you going to be sharing this with a straight job, or are you going to be able to, what percentage of your attention will being county councilman have for you?
Well, actually, I have my own business, and
which is?
I take care of a few estates and a couple houses.
With the landscaping, with the construction, what?
Well, no, I do the yard, but I also do mostly tree trims and mostly a lot of trees and a couple of, I mow a few times, but that's just because they asked me to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly, you know, arborist style work.
Okay.
And, you know, hills, weed whacking hills is right up there with that.
Okay.
You know, not the regular yard stuff. And with that said, my clients already know that during the week is when I'm going to be almost always out in the county trying to solve some of these problems in the backtracking of the history of the timelines and where we're at. And on the weekends, and I'll take care of my accounts because I've only got two. I reduced them all already to two. And so I don't actually have – oh, I'm retired, by the way. And so, I started work early. Back in the day, they didn't enforce child labor law in Hawaii. No, that's serious.
I know.
You know, you had the guy on from Kojima's earlier. I used to work at Kojima's. I worked for Glenn Kojima. I was there when the old man used to crack me with the cane. That's for real. And so, I have all the time in the world and plan on putting all my time into it, you know, because, like I said, I had a newspaper article, and it's not really about getting a job. This is about actually making a difference. You know, I said that subtly, and he put it in a paper, and I didn't think twice, but he really did capsulize it, because I drive to make a difference for my daughters, for my neighbors. When the recession hit, I wasn't affected. My finances were not affected because the way we have our finances set up. And I got to be honest, I was depressed. And I had to teach my kids that it's hard to enjoy eating steak when your neighbors are starving.
Absolutely.
And I'm not one of those guys. I'm the guy that's going to cut my steak in five and say, come on, here, have some.
I appreciate that. So, Matt Bernabe, I'm saying it wrong, Matt Bernabe.
Bernabe.
How can people get a hold of you? Do you have a website yet?
Oh, no, I have not started a website. I am not computer savvy as I should, and I do have people
How can they get a hold of you?
They can call me at...
what's your number?
808-652-6871. I'm going to activate my voicemail. Because I don't have voicemail, but I need to activate it. They've told me I already activated it.
Okay, I'll help him do it before he leaves.
Yes, and I actually was going to do it tonight when I got home.
So he's going to do it before he goes.
Yes,
all right.
I will. And also, I'm on Facebook.
Yes.
So if you guys are on Facebook and you see me on Facebook, and I will be opening a Twitter account as well.
Okay, and we're almost at the very end of our show. Do you have any events coming up? Do you have a fundraiser? Do you have anything like that where people could come and meet you? Are you going to be at the council tomorrow? People can show up and talk to you if they want.
Oh, they can come to the council tomorrow. And I've talked to the people that are going to help me get organized, and we're going to start planning in about a week. Some of the people are not on island right now. I'm waiting for them to come back. And when they come back, we're going to hooey up, and we're going to have a couple events, maybe somewhere in Molawa. I'm thinking somewhere in Hanalei, like Carlos is offered to use his place as a coffee talk.
That's
time.
The general store. Okay, so thank you. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me and allowing me to have this airtime. Thank you.
You're welcome. Marshall, you look like you have a last comment, and then we're going to hear the county council report.
I just thought we should remind people about the presidential preference poll for the Democratic Party
this Saturday.
And, you know, there is this important information about registering as a member of the Democratic Party. You must do that in addition to being registered to vote. And there is a little bit of a wrinkle in that at this point, that it's being recommended that because the Democratic Party has already sent their rolls out to the polling places, that you not register with the Democratic Party online, but you print out the form and take it with you in case they don't have extra forms there.
Mm-hmm. And I've been encouraging them to have extra forms there. So, and yeah, all of that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, and then we're going to cut into...
If you registered when Obama was first running and he ran against...
Clinton.
Yes. And we registered to be a Democrat at that point. We're still registered,
are
right?
Are you getting mail from them?
I did. I got, but it didn't say anything about the vote. I don't know if it said anything about voting.
Okay. I don't know, but I do know that there is no, I'm spacing on the word. When there's not a mitigating thing. If you go to the wrong poll, you can't vote. You know, you can't do a provisional ballot. We have Jazz with John. Okay, last thing, and then...
I just want to say that all of that information, the links and how to check where your polling place is, where to check whether you're still registered to vote, all of that without endorsing the candidate, very conveniently that information is listed on the website hawaiiforbernie.com.
And so 4 is F-O-R or the number 4?
F-O-R.
Hawaii for Bernie, F-O-R, in the middle there, .com. Okay, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. Jazz with John is up next, and we're going to hear the county council report.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of March 21st. There will be a regular council meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, March 23rd. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. And here are highlights from the lengthy agenda. The mayor transmits for council consideration and confirmation mayor appointee Gary Pacheco to the Liquor Control Commission with a term ending 12/31/2018. This is resolution 2016-33. The Director of Finance transmits for council information the Period 7 financial reports, detailed budget reports, statement of revenues, estimated and actual, statement of expenditures and encumbrances, and revenue report as of January 31, 2016. The Deputy Director of Finance transmits for council information the 2016 real property assessment list for the County of Kauai. Council Chair Raposo transmits for council consideration a resolution appointing a representative and alternate to serve on the Executive Committee of the Hawaii State Association of Counties for the term beginning July 1, 2016 through June 30, 2017. This is Resolution 2016-34. The Director of Finance transmits for council information supplemental property tax revenue information pertaining to the estimated reduction in real property tax revenues resulting from the home preservation limit and very low income tax relief measure enacted by the County Council based on the real property assessment certification for the fiscal year 2017 factored with the existing real property tax rates. The police chief requests council approval of an unbudgeted purchase of a 48x20, that's 960 square feet mezzanine for an approximate cost of $80,000 in subsequent installation at the Kauai Police Department station in Lihue to address the need for additional space for evidence storage. $50,000 of the cost of the mezzanine will come from unexpended funds. The chief also requests approval of an unbudgeted purchase of 15 newly marked Ford Explorer patrol vehicles at an estimated cost of $50,000 to $55,000. The prosecuting attorney requests council approval to spend federal highway safety funds from the State of Hawaii Department of Transportation in the amount of $162,529 to be used towards continued funding of one full-time equivalent special prosecuting attorney travel and training. The mayor transmits his fiscal year 2016-2017 budget message along with a proposed operating budget, capital improvement projects, budget and schedule of charges and fees. This is proposed draft bills number 2625 and 2626, including the proposed fiscal year 2016-2017 real property tax rate, which is resolution number 2016-35. The Budget and Finance Committee approved Bill 2616 to amend the county code relating to impoundment fees. This committee also received for the record Bill 2617 on funding the Humane Society's barking dog enforcement, which is also under bills for the second reading. The Committee of the Whole approved as amended Bill 2614 on registration of lobbyists. Resolutions include 2016, 29, and 30 related to housing and urban development. Also on the agenda is Resolution 2016-35 establishing the real property tax rates for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017. Also, Resolution 2016-36, expressing the support of the Council of the County for the proposed Adolescent Treatment and Healing Center. Bills for first reading include proposed draft bill 2623 related to amending the County Fire Code, also bill 2624, approving a collective bargaining agreement for Unit 14. Draft bills 2625 and 2626 related to the budgets. Under bills for second reading is bill 2614-1 related to registration of lobbyists and also bill 2616 relating to impoundment fees. The council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m. It will recess for a public hearing on bill number 2618 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund. This is Deputy County Attorney, Kauai Police Department, legal support in the amount of $30,933. After the public hearing, council will reconvene to complete unfinished business. For more information on meetings or meeting archives, please visit the county's website. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.